Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning, Sensei.
Please turn towards me for the sake of your skeleton. It's good to be here. We live in White Plains now, but though I'm involved in various Zen activities here in New Jersey, we lived in Wayne for a couple of years back in the 90s, and I used to come to Montclair quite a bit when I was an aspiring jazz pianist. There was a jam session that would happen in downtown, down in the basement. And I was part of the group that played every week. I did a few gigs here at Palazzo, and I don't know if it's still there, mm-hmm. and Trumpets. Mm-hmm. So I have a very wonderful feeling about this town, and I really appreciate it. I'm happy to have my wife, Christiane, here with me. And we lived in Wayne together and also came here to Montclair a lot to see a movie and get something to eat. But now I'm interested in now. That's all the past. The past doesn't exist, really. I mean, it doesn't. It just exists as some kind of distorted stuff in our memory. And then whatever people wrote down or whatever was recorded by video, and more of that stuff that can be distorted and changed. So it's getting, the past is getting more and more ephemeral. But we always have now. So back in the now of the 10th century China, a monk asked the Zen master Umon, "What is it when the trees wilt and the flowers fall? Golden breeze." There's different translations of that. One of them is "body exposed in the golden wind." That's nice. Or "you embody the golden breeze." But this translation is just "golden breeze." This golden breeze. Being in the now, being right here, is the golden breeze. So let's do this. We've been sitting for a half hour. We're a little bit sensitized. And then we're able to sit for another half hour after this talk. So now, what are we hearing? This is a wonderfully quiet place. But there's a huge amount of sound going on. So let's listen very closely right now. Don't move. What are we hearing? Anybody? What do you hear? There's always machines going in whatever building we're in these days, because all buildings have machines. And when we're sitting in a zendo and we listen, that's usually, if the zendo was quiet, that's the first thing that we hear. And we dismiss it. Oh, that's the air conditioning. But no, that's not being in the moment. That's not being present. We should listen to the air conditioning. When we really hear it, all the tones and the texture, then we are with it. There's also the sounds in our head. When I'm in a quiet room, I have tinnitus. So I hear a high sound and I hear a low sound. And those are constantly going. And there can be some anxiety linked to that because I'm a piano tuner. But that's just thinking. If I really listen to it, it brings me into the present moment. That's my hearing, as it is. And then the golden breeze starts to move. When everything falls away, when there's no head trash, as Sensei Russ Michael calls it, nothing between us and this experience of now. We experience a shift of consciousness, a shift of our feeling. Something lets go. The thing about being in the moment is that you have to let go. The minute that you're grasping, you're no longer in the moment. You're stuck on something. To totally be in the moment, you have to totally let go. Someone said to me, well, at that point, you're attached to being in the moment. That's a good question. But no, that's not it. You're not attached to it, you just are. It's actually just being. It's being alive. So it's an incredible practice. Because letting go of attachment is the essence of nirvana. It's as deep as you can go. Nirvana is the falling away of thirst. In fact, in the Mahayana Buddhism, the teaching is that nirvana is samsara. And samsara is nirvana. Complete liberation and freedom is this world of suffering. And this world of suffering, this world of all of the comings and goings and the things we can get attached to but don't have to, is nirvana. It's a very powerful teaching. So these teachings are discussed by different teachers over the centuries and over the millennia, and different people come down on the meanings of these words in different ways. And as I've lived and practiced and studied, I feel the teaching is a certain way. And now that I'm asked to get up and speak, I feel that I can present it. And you may not agree with how I interpret these teachings, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm expressing something. I'm using these words to express my experience. And then people may quibble, well, that's not really what Buddha said that nirvana is, and that's not exactly how it is in that sutra. Okay, that's fine. But I'm just using the words to convey something, as all teachers do. If you try to find accuracy, the accurate interpretation of these very evocative and somewhat misty text, good luck. It's just a matter of deciding which teacher you're going to ascribe to. But I just offer these teachings and to express something. Nirvana is right here now and immediately accessible. Detachment. And Buddha also expresses nirvana as the falling away of dukkha, the cessation of dukkha. And dukkha, which we normally interpret as suffering, is actually the skandhas. The skandhas is us perceiving reality. All of this falls away. So that's another way of explaining, describing nirvana, either as the cessation of attachment or as the falling away of everything. And these two are linked. And they're actually just a natural outgrowth of the human spirit. And it's expressed in different cultures in different ways. Suddenly things fall off and we experience the world clearly and feel a sense of joy and spontaneity. It can happen to you whether you've never heard of Zen in your life. We may approach nirvana from the point of view of samadhi when we're sitting, and without making a big deal out of it, we just turn to the breath. Like Shunryo Suzuki said, when we sit, we breathe like drinking water when thirsty. It's very natural. When we're thirsty, we just drink. We're not trying to be present with the drinking. We're thirsty and we're just drinking. So it's the same with sitting and breathing. We are thirsty. We're spiritually thirsty. We're suffering. And it takes a while for us to learn that there's something of value in feeling the breathing. Most people, when they start sitting, they think it must be something intellectual or it must be some kind of mind practice. And, you know, they have to work through that. And some people never do. And they move on to something else. But sooner or later, we discover that in the breathing is a very deep and powerful teaching, just in that experience of the breathing. For Suzuki Roshi, that's really all he had to say about Zazen, just breathe. He's a Soto guy. He wasn't into sitting with koan, but a different way. It's just as natural as drinking water when thirsty. We just feel the breath. And at times, we experience some clarity, where the mind clears, and it feels great. And then, of course, we attach. So then we have to work with that. But that clarity, that's the golden wind, the golden breeze also. And the thing about Zen is that when we experience this clarity in sitting, it starts to become possible to bring that into our life. Those moments of clarity, when we were just feeling the breath and our mind becomes clear, like the blue sky, when the Chinese translated shunyata, emptiness, they didn't have, you know, they didn't have a character for it, so they used the character of sky. The mind is like this clear sky. We start to realize, as the years go by, that we can bring that blue sky mind into what we're doing, including even listening to someone, though it gets tricky because we're getting into language, and language leads us into all kinds of attachments and conceptualization. But even when you're listening to someone, if you can listen to them completely, that's listening with that blue sky mind, without any head trash, just totally experiencing. And then if you can speak that way, there's no thought about what you're going to say, no agenda, just coming from that blue sky mind. This is the golden breeze, coming from the golden breeze, and the golden breeze moving. The golden breeze is not attached. It's soft and flowing. I'm a piano tuner, and, you know, there's times that you have to think about what you're doing because the piano is different from the one you were working on before, and you have to adjust some things, and sometimes the harmonics are off, and you have to give some thought to that. But to really do it well, you have to be totally focused. You have to bring the string right up to the pitch. You have to go a little bit beyond and then ease back to take torque out of the pin. If the pins are tight, there's more torque. If the pins are loose, there's less torque. Sometimes there's stuff on the string, so it jumps around. There's tricks to deal with that. These are all things that you learn over the years. But if you think about any of it, you don't do a good job, or you do a less good job. You have to totally forget everything and just respond to the sound. And it just starts, and it just happens. There's this koan in the Mumon Kan. Why can the man of great strength not lift his leg? Why can the skilled piano tuner not tune a piano? Because there's no one there. There's no skilled piano tuner there. In that moment, no one's there. It's just the sound and the responses, the automatic, spontaneous and free responses. It's the same with vacuuming. When you're vacuuming, if you can really feel the push and pull of the machine, the force of kinetic energy, it's like Tai Chi, and listen to the sound. Things are often aggravating until we pay attention to them. There's so many tones in a vacuum cleaner sound, and it's actually quite beautiful. Usually, most of them are. I never worked with a vacuum cleaner with an ugly sound yet. And if you do that, the time goes by really fast. You can vacuum the whole house. Medicine and sickness heal each other. That's a koan from the Blue Cliff Record. This interaction between these moments of clarity we feel when we're sitting and the ability to be present throughout the day are related. You know, learning how to be present throughout the day, that's something that we can bring to our sitting. Just sit down in the Zendo And just be aware. If you do that for long enough, you know, because in the Zendo, there's nothing happening. If you try to stop thinking, then there's a lot happening because you're fighting with your thoughts. But if you just watch your thoughts, they slow down. Or they stop. I mean, if you watch your mind, say, okay, come on, thoughts, come on. I'll watch you. I'll watch you very closely. Come on. They don't come. The minute you start thinking, you're not aware anymore. It's a very interesting thing. So you're aware of your thoughts, but then there aren't any. A nice quiet Zendo like this, there isn't that much to listen to. You're just looking at the floor. Feel your body. It becomes natural to just start feeling your breathing, because that's really the only thing that's really alive when you're sitting still in a quiet Zendo. And that goes deep. The thinking mind doesn't go deep. So that's taking the awareness that we learn to develop throughout the day, just being aware throughout the day, and bringing it to our Zazen. It's just awareness. And that awareness brings us to our breathing and to this clarity. And then we take that to our daily life. So the two are nourishing each other, healing each other. It's a nice word because it implies that we're getting better as a result of this interaction. And feeling the breathing heals our attached and suffering mind. But just learning how to be present in the moment heals our attachment to samadhi. Because a lot of us are very attached to samadhi. We sit down and, boy, I want it to happen now. And that gets in the way. So we have to be healed from that sickness also. So in that way, just being present in the moment is the medicine for our attachment to samadhi. It's a wonderful phrase that has to do with this interaction. Nirvana and samsara are one right now. And in that meeting of the two is a wonderful life. Free and spontaneous. Able to ride with what is and appreciate.